ಪ್ರಚೋದಯಾಯ ವಿದ್ಮಹೇ ವಕ್ರತುಂಡಾಯ ಧೀಮಹಿ ತನ್ನೋ ದಂತಿ ಪ್ರಚೋದಯಾತ್ ವಿಷ್ಣೋರ್ಮುಖಂ ವೀರ್ಯಾನಿ ಪ್ರವೋಚಯ್ಯ ಪಾರ್ಥಿವಾನಿ ಮಮೇ ರಜಾಗುಂಸಿಯೋ ಅಸ್ತವಾಯದುತ್ತರಗುಂ ಸದಸ್ತಂ ವಿಚಕ್ರಮಾನಸ್ತ್ರೇದೋರುಗಾಯಃ ವಿಷ್ಣೋರರಾಟಮಸಿ ವಿಷ್ಣೋ ಪೃಷ್ಟಮಸಿ ವಿಷ್ಣೋಸ್ತಂ ತ್ರೇ ಸ್ನೋ ವಿಷ್ಣೋ ಸ್ಯೂರಸಿ ವಿಷ್ಣೋ ಧ್ರುವಮಸಿ ವೈಶ್ರವಮಸಿ ವಿಷ್ಣವೇ ತ್ವಾ ತದಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಿಯಮಭಿಪಾದೋಸ್ಯ ನರೋ ಯತ್ರ ದೇವಯವೋ ಮದಂತಿ ಉರುಕ್ರಮಸ್ಯ ಸೈ ಬಂಧುರಿಕ್ತಾ ವಿಷ್ಣೋರ್ಪದೇ ಪರಮೇ ಮಧ್ವ ಉತ್ಸಹ ಪ್ರದ್ವಿಷ್ಣುಸ್ತವತೇ ವೀರಾಯ ಮೃಗೋ ನ ಭೀಮ ಕುಚರೋ ಗಿರಿಷ್ಠಾ ಯಸ್ಯೋರಿಷು ತ್ರಿಷು ವಿಕ್ರಮಣೇಷು ಅಧಿಕ್ಷಿಯನ್ ತ್ರಿಭುವನಾನಿ ವಿಶ್ವಾ ಪರೋ ಮಾತ್ರಯಾ ತನುವಾವೃಧಾನಾ ನತೇ ಮಹಿತ್ವಮನ್ವಶ್ನುವಂತಿ ಉಭೇ ತೇ ವಿದ್ಮರಜಸಿ ಪೃಥಿವ್ಯಾ ವಿಷ್ಣೋ ದೇವತ್ವಂ ಪರಮಸ್ಯ ವಿತ್ಸೇ ವಿಚಕ್ರಮೇ ಪೃಥಿವೀ ಮೇಷ ಏತಾಂ ಶ್ರೇತ್ರಾಯ ವಿಷ್ಣುರ್ಮನುಷೇ ದಶಸ್ಯನ್ ಧ್ರುವಾಸೋ ಅಸ್ಯ ಕೀಡ ಯೋಜನಾ ಸಹ ಉರುಕ್ಷಿತಿಗುಂ ಸುಜನಿ ಮಾಚಕಾರ ತ್ರಿದೇವ ಪೃಥಿವೀ ಮೇಷ ಏತಾಂ ವಿಚಕ್ರಮೇ ಶತಚ ಸಂಮಹಿತ್ವಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಣುರಸ್ತು ತವ ಸಸ್ತ ವೀರ್ಯಾನ್ ದ್ವೇಷದ್ಗುಮ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಸ್ತವಿರಸ್ಯ ನಾಮ ಅಥೋ ದೇವಾ ಅವಂತು ನೋಯತೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುರ್ವಿಚಕ್ರಮೇ ಪೃಥಿವ್ಯಾ ಸಪ್ತರಾಮವಿಃ ಇದಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುರ್ವಿಚಕ್ರಮೇ ದ್ವೇಧಾನಿ ತದೇ ಪದಂ ಸಮೂಢಮಸ್ಯ ವಾಗುಂ ಸುರೇ ತ್ರೀಣಿ ಪದಾ ವಿಚಕ್ರಮೇ ವಿಷ್ಣುರ್ಗೋಪಾ ಅಲಾಭ್ಯ ತಥೋ ಧರ್ಮಾನಿ ಧಾರಯನ್ನ ವಿಷ್ಣೋರ್ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಪಶ್ಯತಯತೋ ರಥಾನಿ ಪಸ್ಪಶೇ ಇಂದ್ರಸ್ಯ ಯುಜ್ಜ ಸಖಾ ತದ್ವಿಷ್ಣೋರ್ ಪರಮಂ ಪದಗುಂ ಸದಾ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಸೂರಯಃ ದಿವಿ ವಚಕ್ಷುರಾಗತಂ ತದ್ವಿಪ್ರಾಸೋ ವಿಪನ್ಯವೋ ಜಾಗೃವಾಗುಂ ಸಸ್ತವಿಂದತೆ ವಿಷ್ಣೋರ್ಯ ಪರಮಂ ಪದಂ ಪರ್ಯಾಭ್ಯ ಅನಂತರಾಯಾಯ ಸರ್ವಸ್ತೋಮೋತಿರಾತ್ರ ಉತ್ತಮಾಹರ್ಭವತಿ ಸರ್ವಸ್ಯಾತ್ಯೈ ಸರ್ವಸ್ಯ ಚಿತ್ಯೈ ಸರ್ವಮೇವ ತೇನಾಪ್ನೋತಿ ಸರ್ವಂ ಜಯತಿ
ಶ್ರೀ ಸಾಯಿರಾಮ್. ನೀವೇ ತಲ್ಲಿವಿ ತಂದ್ರಿವಿ, ನೀವೇ ನಾ ತೋಡು ನೀಡ, ನೀವೇ ಸಕುಡವು ಗುರುಡವು ದೈವಮು, ನೀವೇ ನಾ ಪತಿಯು ಗತಿಯು ನಿಜಮುಗ ಸಾಯಿ. ಟು ದ ಒನ್ with whom we all of us bond ourselves as our divine mother, as our divine father, as our divine friend, guru, God, guardian, and goal. To you, O beloved Lord, I offer my humble obeisance at thy lotus feet on behalf of all of us assembled here and millions assembled across the globe. Summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. Bharatiya Samskruti Mariyu Adhyatmikata. Bharatiya Bhagavantuni Yandu Ratini Pempundimpacheya. Bhagavantuni Yandu Premanu Pempandinchutakoraku Adhyatmika Chintanato Kudina Samskara Jivana Margame Punadi. Yes, indeed. Summer course in Indian culture and spirituality is the time when we all of us introspect and reorient our minds. It is the time for reorientation such that in order to foster the love for God in our hearts, leading a cultured life with genuine concern for others, feeling inherent unity among us, is the fundamental basis. Yes, indeed, leading a cultured life with concern for others makes us deserving recipients of love of God. For love of Sai and love for Sai alone are the sole fulcrums that keep the fabric of Sri Satya Sai institutions together and make it sail through smoothly at all times and in all situations. With this spirit, I welcome you all for this year's second day evening's proceedings of summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. This evening, with the divine blessings of our beloved Bhagavan, we have three speakers who would be addressing us. The first speaker of this evening is Sri Ujjwal Priyadarshi, a student of third year Bachelor of Commerce class from the Vrindavan campus of the institute. Sri Ujjwal hails from Patna, Bihar. He studied in Sri Satya Sai Primary School and Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashanti Nilayam, until 2016. Sri Ujjwal is a very good playwright and a gifted actor. Reading Sai literature is his passion. He is a very agile basketball player and he has actively participated in the debate team and in elocution. He is a very good orator and he will be speaking to us on the topic Gratitude to My Master this evening. The second speaker is Sri Rinil Khatri. Sri Rinil hails from Ahmedabad, Gujarat. He joined Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School in the year 2012, after which he went on to obtain his bachelor's degree in commerce in the year 2017 from the Vrindavan campus of the institute. Currently, he is in the second MBA class in the Prashanti Nilayam campus of the institute. Sri Rinil was part of the university brass band in the Vrindavan campus. He is an active participant in the debate team and is a gifted poet and a narrator. His topic for this evening's talk is white and orange. The third speaker of this evening is Sri G. Aditya, doctoral research scholar, Department of Management and Commerce, Prashanti Nilayam campus. Sri Aditya came into the divine fold as a Balvika student in the year 1998. He joined Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School in the year 2008 and was blessed with many interactions with our beloved Bhagwan. Further, he completed his Bachelor's of Commerce and Masters in Finance from Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Vrindavan campus. Later on, he joined the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini Fellowship Program and has worked in close association with Satya Sai schools at Rishikesh and Dharamshala and played an active role in molding young minds. Currently, he is pursuing his doctoral research in the area of behavioral finance at the Prashantiram campus of the institute. As an enthusiastic learner and researcher, he has attended many national and international conferences in premier institutions such as IIM Ahmedabad, Max Planck Institute of Human Development, Germany, and so on. This evening, he will be speaking to us on Guru Seva. Before the speakers deliver their address in the order mentioned, we now have Kumari Samiksha Gurung of 3rd BSc Physics class of the Anantapur campus of the institute, who would be summarizing this morning's proceedings held in the Purnachandra auditorium. After the speeches, we will have bhajans and Mangala Arati. Jai Sai Ram.
Shri Sai Ram, my humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Lord. A very good evening and a warm welcome to and a loving Sai Ram to one and all present here. I am indeed honored to recollect and summarize the proceedings of the second day of the summer course on Indian culture and spirituality 2018. The dynamics generated yesterday was carried forth with the same zeal today. The second day of the summer course 2018 witnessed spectral view on the given theme. The session commenced with an invocatory Vedam chanting by the students of the Vrindavan campus. Following this was a mesmerizing talk by Ms. Rani Java, an age-old devotee of Bhagwan who hails from Mumbai and has spoken on several occasions about her experiences with Swami. She addressed us on the topic, Living with Divinity is True Education. Her talk was saturated with her intensely personal experiences with Bhagwan. It held our attention and transported us to a realm where we could envision ourselves enjoying a similar connection with the Lord. Not only did she justify that living with divinity is true education, but also convinced, I am sure, almost everyone seated there about the same. Swami, the companion for the entirety of her life, she says, not only helped her acquire worldly knowledge, but also imparted spiritual wisdom. All the knowledge she received living with the divine reflected as she spoke and urged all of us to constantly pray and surrender completely to the Lord. After the talk was the much-awaited summer course quiz on the topic Darshanam, Sparshanam, and Sambhashanam. The quiz was both informative and interesting, opening our eyes to the minute details of Bhagwan's life and his glory. The last event of the morning session was a scintillating Dharma performance entitled Dharmo Rakshati Rakshitaha, presented by the students and staff of the Prashanti Nilayam campus. The drama depicted instances from the Mahabharata portraying the timeless war between good and evil and how God always stands by the good. In the post-lunch session, the students and staff of the institute continued to discuss Bhagwan's discourse on discipline, duty and devotion, which was delivered on 19th of June 1996. On the whole, the second day of the summer course was educative, energetic and thought-provoking. Dear Swami, we express our heartfelt gratitude for granting us the opportunity to be a part of this unique experience. Thank you, Jai Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Invoking the presence of our guide and God, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Venerable elders and my dear sisters and brothers, a loving Sai Ram to everyone present here and elsewhere. 13 summers ago, a wish that I'd long stopped praying for was answered. The last burning embers of hope that had long been doused burned to life again. It was the arid month of July for the rest, but for me, it was a spring of hope. It was the 19th of July, 2005. I had come to Prashanti Nilayam to celebrate the birthday of my twin sister, who was then studying in the primary school. I had come with a return ticket in my hand, for I had no hope whatsoever that I would get a chance to study in Swami school, largely because of my previous unsuccessful attempt, despite all my effort and sincere prayers. But for some strange reason, my mother had a belief in me and in my ability, and more than the belief in me, she had great faith in Bhagwan, that Swami would definitely let me be a part of his institution. So she went and asked Headmistress Auntie if I could write the entrance examination for the third standard. Shockingly enough, 1.5 months into the new academic year, and Auntie agreed. I was mortified. With trepidation building in my heart, I went ahead and wrote the examination. The next day, Auntie comes up to my mother and says, "Get your son to the primary school day after. He'll stay with us now." I was ecstatic and overjoyed, for at last, I was where I wished to be. 12 summers have passed since that date, and not once have I looked back and regretted not taking the train back home, for I had got down at the right station. I had got down at the station of my dream. I had got down at Prashanti Nilayam. The years gone by have given me a string of learnings and many discoveries. I discovered a family far from the one I had left behind. Friends who over the years have grown to be like my brothers. Teachers whose concern for our welfare is like that of a parent. But eclipsing all these relationships that time has helped me forge, perhaps the most important of them all is the relationship we share with our Lord. The relationship between my Sai and I. Irrespective of whether or not I deserved his love, he has drenched me in his unconditional and unsullied love since the very beginning. If not for the belief that my mother had in me, now who is a mother exactly? For as they say, that God can't be with humans at all times, so he sends his angels down upon earth to guide and protect us. Those angels are our mothers. How lucky indeed we are, for he not only sent his angels to guide and protect us, he himself came down to guide and protect us. For that is the greatest boon that God has given mankind. And for that, we owe a perpetual debt of gratitude to him. If not for the blessing of our Lord, now when I look back and think, what would have happened if I didn't trust my mother? It would have been a fatal mistake. For man is short-sighted in nature. We tend to see the world in bichromatic shades of either success or failure. We know not what the future holds for us. It is God alone who knows what is best for us and when it is to be given to us. Despite being the recipient of his love, grace and mercy, there are times when we feel that we are insignificant. There are times when we feel that we are too small to matter in his mission. It is then, brothers and sisters, that we must remember the story of the squirrel. The squirrel immortalized itself in the annals of history, not because it made the greatest contribution to the mission of Lord Ram, but because it made the greatest contribution it could to the mission of Lord Ram. For a Lord does not look for the quantity, but he looks for the quality of your love. He is Bhava Priya. So brothers, however small the act be, we must render it as a service to our Lord. For he is not beyond anything, neither is any act below him. I realized this in an incident in my 11th standard. It was the 11th of February, 2015. I had sustained severe injury while playing a game of cricket. I had got a double fracture on my jaw, And the doctors, upon further examination, said that I must undergo a surgery. I was pretty scared. My teachers and the Central Trust members facilitated for my surgery to be done in the Vaidya Institute of Medical Sciences in Bangalore. I reached Bangalore, and there were two people waiting for me. One was my own brother, and the other was a Sai brother of ours. Upon the next 3 days, a series of revelations unfolded in front of me. Both my brothers burned themselves out to lend me warmth and solace, to ensure that I was comfortable. The Sai brother of ours came back from his night shift, took me through all the mandatory checks to be done through the day, followed me to the surgical ward, and even after my surgery, he followed up and inquired as to how I was. I was overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude, for he was not obliged to help me in any manner. Why was he doing this for me? It was then that it struck, for he had long before and ever since then been a recipient of the unconditional love of our Lord. And in this, he saw an opportunity to pay back the gratitude to another person who needed his help at that moment. It was then that I realized that the greatest miracle of our Lord is not in the educational institutions, neither is it in the medical institutions of our Lord. It is in the transformation of our hearts. The greatest miracle of our Lord lies right in front of Him. It is us. For His mission has always been to sow the seeds of love in the fertile lands of our heart, so that in fullness of time, when need be, the tiny seeds of love shall sprout and germinate into mammoth trees, giving shade and solace to all those who need it, without expecting anything in return. For then alone, we would have paid back partly our gratitude to our Lord. Brothers and sisters, let's remember that every act that we do is an offering unto Him. All acts lead to Him, for He is the act and He is the actor. But despite all of this realization, there are times when we feel that we are not up to the task. There are times when we feel we are inept. The problem here is not that we feel that we are not good enough. The problem is that we associate the doership with ourselves. We are not the doers. He is the doer. We are mere conduits through which His love shall flow to the billions across the globe and help them. All that we have to do is render ourselves hollow, devoid of any ego, so that He can play His mellifluous music through us. And this incident happened in my 12th standard. It was the 12th of January 2016. We were supposed to be presenting a drama entitled Our Lives, Your Message in this very hall. On the eve of the drama, I was playing the lead role and I was very distraught because the drama was not coming out well and I felt that I was letting down my school, all the expectations that were on me. And so I went to our Lord and cried out to Him, "Swami, it is not me who has asked for this role. You have given it to me. And now you are backing out. What do I do?" And in this desperate cry, I picked up the chit from the chit box. And the message read, "You are my chosen messenger." The name of the drama was Our Lives, Your Message. And He replied to me, "You are my chosen messenger." And it is then that it dawned upon me that it is He who has chosen us to be His messenger and not us who have opted to be His messengers. It is He who has given us the mission and it is He who will furnish us with the strength to complete this mission. All that we have to do is realize that He is the one doing it. Render ourselves hollow, devoid of any ego, and let Him do the magic. The first step over here is that we acknowledge that we have a perpetual debt of gratitude to both our mother and more so to our divine mother. For that will be the greatest discovery of our lives. The second is that we realize that every act is an offering unto Him. For when all acts are an offering unto Him, it ennobles our lives. It gives our life another purpose, a larger purpose to live for. And the final summit that we must climb is that we must remember and realize that we are not the doers. He is. For it is that which will help us progress in our lives. At the end, I would like to conclude with a poem. When all the happiness seemed to ebb away, when a shroud of darkness had veiled my day, when all colors of life did fade, You came in, bringing me shade. For that, O Lord, I have gratitude to pay. When the rules got the better of me, with a bit of prayer and promise, you set me free. For that, O Lord, I have gratitude to pay. When the fear of failure gripped me tight, you were there by my side. For that, O Lord, I have gratitude to pay. As far as I can, I shall do as you say, remembering that I have a gratitude to pay. Ask if I may, I seek a promise, that with your hands clasped in mine, you shall walk with me all the way. With your hands clasped in mine, you shall walk with me all the way. Thank you for your patient listening. Jai Sai Ram.
बुलंद इतना कि हर तकदीर के पहले खुदा बंदे से खुद पूछे कि बता तेरी रजा क्या है. टू द वन हुज द सोर्स ऑफ ऑल डिवोशन, टू द वन हुज द ऑब्जेक्ट सब्जेक्ट एंड द एम ऑफ ऑल डिवोशन, टू द वन हुज द पोएट इन ऑरेंज ऑफ दिस ब्यूटिफुल पोएट्री इन वाइट टाइटल लाइफ, आई ऑफर माई मोस्ट हम्बल सैल्यूटेशंस. When I heard this phrase, white and orange, for the first time, a train of thoughts just flowed through my mind. It contained a variety of concepts, a plethora of perspectives, and a number of lessons to be learnt. One of the first musings which came to my mind was regarding how to define this concept of white and orange. Down the ladder of abstraction, one may define it to be the relationship which Bhagwan fostered with his students. But human beings, as we all are, we foster hundreds of relationships during our lifetime. So what is that je ne sais quoi about this relationship? So special about this relationship, which makes it so memorable? What is that in this relationship, which turns a dry stream of emotions into a turbulent river of love flowing towards him as he enters our life? And the answer to this question is an oft-repeated statement, an explanation that needs no explanation, that his relationship with us is an unending saga of pure, unsullied love that knows no selfishness, which seeks nothing in return, which only gives, gives and gives. This makes our bond so special. This makes our relationship so memorable. Thinking of the texture of the relationship between white and orange, an interesting incident comes before my mind's eye. Several years back, when Bhagwan was about to come to the hostel suddenly experienced a power cut. One of the students was working with the wiring inside the hostel, and he wanted to cut a piece of wire, but he did not have a pair of pliers to do so. So since the power was not there, the student went on to cut the wire using his teeth. And as he was doing this, power suddenly came back. The student could have got electrocuted. But before he could have got electrocuted, Bhagwan entered that room, flinging open the door so fast that the wire got snapped. And needless to say, the student's life was saved. The orange continues to protect the white expanse, irrespective of how far the white goes away from it, irrespective of how many flaws and imperfections the white may contain in it. Not only does the orange protect the white, more importantly, the white gets constantly guided, molded, and shaped by the orange's hue in his life. In this regard, Bhagwan has mentioned in several of his discourses that his love, the educational institutions which he has established, the state of the art infrastructure given to us, all are like the butter which a mother uses to lure her children. But alongside, there exist strict standards of discipline which form the very soul of the system which he has founded. But unfortunately today, there exist so-called libertarians who impugned the very concept of discipline by stating that it violates, it stifles with the personal freedom and personal liberty of individuals. In this regard, I would like to refer to an interesting piece of research which got conducted at Stanford University that subsequently came to be known as the Stanford Experiment. In this experiment, a group of children was given a choice. They could either choose to indulge themselves immediately into a delicacy, or they could choose to postpone their consumption and get a better reward after a certain period of time. The study revealed that those children who chose to exercise restraint on themselves, those who chose to postpone their consumption, on an average scored better marks in competitive examinations, enjoyed healthier relationships with their loved ones during the course of their lives, and most importantly, were happier during their lives compared to those children who couldn't exercise control on themselves. This is what discipline does to us. It protects us from the perils of immediate gratification of our senses. I think a lot has been spoken about what the orange does to the white. What about what the white can do for the orange? What can I, a streak of white, can do my little bit to contribute in his divine mission? And my heart says, let us begin with being happy. Being happy irrespective of what circumstances life has got for us. Irrespective of all the flaws, imperfections which we, the things around us, the people around us might have. Irrespective of all the problems which we may possess, all the issues which we may have, we should try to be happy. Even the Holy Quran echoes a similar message, and I quote, Allah's decree is divine and not always understandable to us here and now. Only on looking back do we understand how His plan was perfect. Allah's plan is the best for us, and knowing that makes life incredibly peaceful. I unquote. No doubt we don't have control over some of the circumstances we undergo in our life, some of the circumstances which govern our lives. But we do have a choice on how we respond to these circumstances. If life chooses to give us a lemon, we can either choose to make a lemonade and enjoy it to the fullest, or we can choose to let the lemon be how it was. Ultimately, if we choose to ignore it, the lemon might get spoiled. So it is in our best interest that we make a lemonade out of it. Even Bhagwan has said in many of his discourses that the sole aim of his descent is to bring joy to his devotees. And if we, his children, don't be happy, then how can we expect him to be happy? And one of the easiest ways which, again, he only suggests us to be happy is by being grateful to him. As the previous speaker mentioned, gratitude is a very essential aspect of human happiness. Being grateful to him for whatever he has done to us, whatever he has done for us, being grateful for being there for us, for having given himself to us, being grateful for the wonderful people in our lives, being grateful for having taught us what love is, being grateful for having taught us what it is like to be loved. Gratitude adds fullness to life. It turns a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. With gratitude in my heart and a prayer on my lips that may we, his children, continue to be happy. May we, his children, tap the inner fountain of happiness and always maintain a beaming smile on our faces which reflect his brilliance. I bring an end to my talk. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Shri Sai Ram, offering my humble pranams at Swami's lotus feet, respected teachers, elders, and my dear brothers and sisters, a loving Sai Ram to one and all. At the outset, I would like to thank Swami and my teachers for giving me this golden opportunity to speak to you all as part of the Indian Summer Course on Indian Culture and Spirituality, which was very close to Swami. This 3-day summer course event marks the beginning of the academic calendar of Sri Sathya Sai Educational Institutions. And this summer course plays a very important role in the life of a Sai student, because he or she is exposed to the rich Bharatiya culture which is not spoken outside much. Spending my formative years with Bhagwan, doing my schooling and graduation in his institutions, I am a direct beneficiary of unconditional and unlimited love. Be it the world-class education which he provided me, or the high-tech infrastructure facilities in the college and the hostel, I am ever indebted to him for all that he has given me. The only way in which I can repay back this debt is by speaking about his glory, recollecting the wonderful experiences which I had with him, and also, importantly, sharing those lessons which I learned from him. So today, I'd be sharing some of my personal experiences which I had with Swami, and also those lessons which became my lessons of life. So there was a young boy, long back, was sitting in a room, dark room. Nothing was around him, but his head was filled with thoughts and lot of questions. Lot of questions which he didn't know answer. He didn't know the direction where to go, or he didn't know the path where to walk. And then he cries out in pain and agony, Satya Swarupa Raha Dikhavo Sai Guru Deva. And there was pin drop silence. And in this depth of silence, he wants to hear the voice of his master. And the ever beautiful sweet Lord whispers into his ears, Guru Seva Bina Nirvan Nahi Jaya Sai Guru Deva. And there he had got his answer, that Guru Seva is a royal path for him towards enlightenment and bliss. It is said that the mother shows the child the father shows the child the guru, and the guru shows the child the God. But here we are, the lucky, fortunate few who have the Kali Yuga avatara, the Purna avatara, Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, who descended down to become our guru. So in order to become close to my guru and perform my guru seva, I decided to join the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School in 2008. When you say guru, the first sloka which comes to our mind is Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha, Guru Shakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. All of us know this sloka, and I too knew this. But I wanted to go to the source of this sloka with a hope that maybe the source can give me more knowledge and information about Guru and Guru Seva. So this sloka comes from Skanda Purana, from a section called Guru Gita, which was written by Vedavyasa. So this Guru Gita is a beautiful conversation between Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva, wherein Goddess Parvati asks multiple questions to the all-knowing one Shiva, that who is a guru, what about Guru Seva and all that. So the first question she asks is, who is a guru? And Shiva tells, Gu means darkness, Ru means removal. So the one who removes the darkness of ignorance with the light of knowledge and brings you to a state of existence, to a state of awareness, is Guru. So today I will be sharing three important lessons which changed my life, three important lessons on Guru Seva while doing Guru Seva from a Guru, which actually removed the darkness and got me to a state of awareness. So the first lesson is Guru Seva is perfection in performance. So this I learned in my 12th standard. So this was the first day of my 12th standard. I had come to Puttaparthi from home after my vacations. It was the first day we all were attending the darshan sessions in evening. The bhajans were going on and Swami was seated on the dais. So that day prasadam distribution was there. And the prasadam distributed was mango prasadam. So those days in my school, the 11th standard students were not lucky enough to do the prasadam distribution. Only from the 12th standard you can do the prasadam distribution. This prasadam distribution, which is done in Sai Kulwant Hall, is a great opportunity only given to students from directly from Bhagwan to serve his most loving devotees. And I think it is one of the greatest opportunity to do Guru Seva. So I didn't want to miss this opportunity on the day one. So that day I was legally eligible to do prasadam distribution. So I went and picked up my basin of mangoes and I was serving just near this Vedam block. So as I was serving with lot of excitement and joy that I'm in physical presence of Swami, I'm serving the prasadam. Suddenly, at one point of time, I was showing my back towards Swami and there was a commotion near me. So all were looking at me. So and I was quite puzzled and uncomfortable that why people are looking at me. So then one of the brothers said that look back. So I turned back and Swami was looking directly into my eyes and Swami called me. So I ran towards Swami and Swami said that ee pillalki prasadam ichchei. So he pointed towards the bhajan group, the first line, and said that serve the prasadam to them. So I obeyed him and went and started distributing the prasadam with lot of joy in my heart that this was the first time physically Swami called me and instructed me to do something and this is the first direct Guru Seva opportunity which I am getting, so let me do it perfectly. So I was serving one by one. I finished the first line, I went to second and third, and again there was a commotion, and this time I was sure Swami is looking at me. So I turned back and Swami called, hey, come here. So I ran towards Swami. And I went closer to Swami. Swami said, Papam, aab abbai kuda ichchera, Swami said. So there was one boy who was playing tabla. And I missed that boy. I didn't give him the prasadam. Then I was feeling so bad and so worried that Swami was concerned about that boy. So I immediately ran to him, gave the prasadam, came back to Swami. And Swami, I told Swami, Swami, I gave the prasadam. Swami told, chala santosham, and give me a beautiful smile. In the Ramayana, when the bridge from Rameshwaram to Lanka was built, there were many monkeys and warriors and soldiers who were actually participating in this great massive project of building the bridge, which was a Guru Seva which they were offering to Lord Rama. But there was one small squirrel which was doing a very interesting thing. So it was going to the stand, rubbing its body on it, and going towards the construction site over there and offloading the little particles of sand which it had on its back and trying to fill the small gaps which these huge boulders were creating. That was the perfection this squirrel was actually giving it to the Guru Seva, and for that Lord Rama blessed the squirrel profusely that it left marks behind the squirrel forever. And today we have Kali Yuga Avatara Sai Rama, who was not concerned about the fact that everyone in the Sai Kulwant Hall had got the prasadam that day, but concerned over that one individual who didn't get prasadam, and taught me that Guru Seva is perfection in performance. Coming to the second lesson which I learned, in Guru Seva, Guru is looking at your availability, not your ability. So let me explain this with a personal experience which I had. So this was in my Vrindavan days. I was in the first undergraduate program. And it was during our end semester examinations, I had my accountancy exam ahead. I had not done my mid-semester examinations well. So I need to get a lot of marks to convert my grades. I was quite worried. I studied hard and I was quite confident that I will do my exam well, but still there was a fear that if the question paper comes tough, then it would be a great difficulty for me. So I prayed to Swami that, Swami, please bless me the easy question paper so that I can get good marks, something like high marks. So after this prayer, the accountancy got over and it went on very well, and I was very happy. The paper was surprisingly easy that day. So after this exam, I just ran towards Trai Brindavan. So Trai Brindavan is the residence of Swami in Brindavan. So I ran to him where students pray, and I told Swami, Swami, thanks a lot for blessing with an easy question paper. So as a small offering from my side, I will do a small guru seva to you which will make you happy. So I will keep maunam for one full day the next day. So keeping one full day maunam may not be difficult for many, but it was a big Herculean task for me. I was a very talkative child from my childhood and I never knew what is silence till I joined Puttaparthi. And after coming to Puttaparthi, listening to Swami's discourses, reading his literature, and also getting guidance from teachers, I understood that there's a lot of importance in silent sitting and could understand that it was helping my personality. I had lot of failed attempts of keeping maunam in my school days, but those 2-3 times when I had some successful attempts, Swami used to bless me profusely by giving me Padanamskar or giving me Vibhuti. But once I went to Brindavan, I missed physical proximity of Swami and I didn't keep maunam for a long time. So this was around after 8-9 months, and I was telling Swami that I'll keep maunam. But anyway, I also told Swami, Swami, you have to take care that my maunam comes well and completes. So I went to bed. That day, Swami came in my dream. And he saw me and he asked me that, oh, you're keeping maunam tomorrow? And I was very happy and thrilled that, wow, here comes the direct acknowledgement from Swami that the thought which I shared, the prayer which I shared in Trai Brindavan, and here he's acknowledging me. I was so happy and I said that, yes, Swami, I'm keeping maunam tomorrow. And then Swami says that, I don't think so you can keep maunam full day. And there I sink in disappointment. And I was so upset that here I was expecting some nice blessings from Swami, and Swami is telling that you will not be able to keep. And then I say, Swami, Swami, only you can do that. I cannot do it. Only you should help me to keep my maunam full day. And Swami says that, beware of three things. Beware of three people. I didn't understand. Why should I be beware of someone? So no one is going to harm me in Brindavan. Then I said, Swami, Swami, I'm not understanding. Then Swami said, come, I'll show you. So he took me to a screen. So there's like a movie going in front of me. And I was seeing myself sitting and reading the newspaper. And we were in my room and there were many other friends with me. And suddenly one of my classmates enters the room singing a beautiful, nice rhythmic bhajan. And the bhajan was one of my favorite bhajan. And what I do is that once he comes singing that bhajan, I also pick up the line with him and start singing with him. And then my friend leaves. Then I realize that I broke my maunam. So that was the first incident. And then Swami tells, come. Then he takes me to the next room where I and my friend are studying for the economics exam. And we are studying, and suddenly one of the friend comes and tells, Aditya, your mother is on phone call. So immediately out of excitement, I get up, I run to the phone, I tell my mother that my accountancy exam went on well. I'm sure she was also very concerned about that. So I went and told her, and I just speak continuously. After keeping the phone call, I realized that I broke my maunam. And I'm looking at Swami in my dream, and Swami says, wait, one more is left. Then he takes me to the third scene where I was in the dining hall in Brindavan where the bhajans happen. The bhajans get over. Then I come out of dining hall and there where I had my director sir, who was also my accountancy teacher that time. So he was also worried about my accountancy exam. So he asked me, how was your accountancy exam? And I was so happy that sir is asking about my exam. So I tell him that my exam went on very well. Then I will surely get good grades. And after I leave, I realize that I broke my maunam. So this is what Swami showed. And after showing this, Swami said, beware of three things. Beware of these three people. And then the dream ended. I got up, I was going for Suprabhatam. I was still wondering that, is it not just some random incidences which are coming into my head? Or really did Swami tell me and warn me about my maunam? Anyway, I don't give it a thought to that. After my breakfast, I'm sitting in room. I was not reading the newspaper. I was solving some puzzle. And then the same friend entered my room singing the same bhajan. And rest all people who were with me, they were singing the bhajan with him, but I was not singing. I was like, I saw this today morning in my dream. And then I was so shocked, but I was controlling myself as looking down. And then I wanted to tell someone with excitement that this is what Swami showed me, but I can't open my mouth because I was keeping maunam. And then my friend, I think he felt bad that I was not responding to him, so he left. Then after that, the next incident. So I was thinking that maybe one out of three, maybe a coincidence. Let's wait for the second one. So after some time, it was around 10 o'clock, I was sitting with my friend and studying for examination. One of the classmates comes and tells your mother is on phone call. I actually get up. Because it was spontaneous. When your call comes from your mother, you actually get up. And then I realized that no, Swami told me that the phone call will come. And then I signal to my friend that please tell my mother that I'll speak to her tomorrow. And immediately I run to Thrai, Vrindavan, and I said that Swami, thanks a lot. And here I am actually asking you, blessing me to keep my maunam successfully. And here you are blessing me with this opportunity, showing me the future and ensuring that I keep my maunam successfully. So two out of three got over. And now comes the interesting part. So I think it's a very rare incident where you actually know the future and you're actually going to live it. And you know that something is going to happen, but you want to avoid it. So I was also very clever in that case. I thought that let's avoid meeting my director that day. So I start in a strategic position in the dining hall so that he can't see me. But that day, somehow he was not leaving the dining hall that day. And I was waiting, and he was not leaving. So the only solution came to me in my head was just get up and run. So as I got up and I was actually sprinting that day and he saw me, he called me. And then I was like, Swami, no one can change what you want to happen. So I went closer to him. And that time a lot of thoughts were coming into my head. So should I say that? Should I tell I'm keeping maunam? Or it'll be disrespect if some elder is asking about your exam. But when I went closer to him, he asked me, how was your accountancy exam? Exactly the same question which I saw in my dream. And then I indicated to him that I'm keeping maunam and I'll respond to him tomorrow with lot of excitement that day that I have to tell this experience someone. And I think now Swami has blessed me with this opportunity to share with you all. That day, I learned that it is not about your ability. If you are showing your availability to do a Guru Seva, he will make you able. Swami has told so many times that you take one step towards me, I will take 100 steps towards you. Brothers and sisters, that one step is showing your availability to Swami and he will take the 99 steps which will make you able. That day, I was not capable to keep a maunam for one full day. I just showed him that I'm available to keep a Guru Seva for you. For what I showed the availability, he showed me the future, which is humanly impossible, and made sure that my maunam, my sadhana, and my Guru Seva comes true. So it was a beautiful experience which happened in Kodaikanal. The small incident where Swami is sitting with students and he was having a small piece of paper. So he wanted to write something. So he just stretched his hand. There were two boys in front of him having pen. So one boy was quick. So he gave the pen to Swami and Swami took the pen. Swami is writing and then the pen stopped working and Swami again slightly indicated for another pen and the second boy who missed the chance was quick enough this time and gave the pen to Swami, and Swami started writing. This is a very mundane, normal incident which happened in Kodaikanal, but has deep meaning, brothers. What it means is that we all are the pens in Swami's hands doing seva. We don't know when will be the availability for us. Be always available, just like the first pen. Be alert, because when Swami will give you the Guru Seva opportunity, we don't know. But most of us are like the second pen, because we missed the chance in the first time. But don't lose hope. Don't get dejected and disappointed if the first pen goes, because you don't know that when the opportunity will come for you. Because every instrument has a right time and the right purpose. Just like the second pen was alert in spite of a first pen working, but when the first pen didn't work, the second pen got the chance. Be always available to do the Guru Seva, because we don't know when Swami will require us. In Guru Seva, we all are the instruments. Don't be like the football, which is round and filled with air, because all that you will get is kick from others. Become straight, become hollow, you will get the kiss of the Lord, not the kick from the people. Coming to the third learning, which I would like to tell and share with you all, the last and the final one, is Guru Seva is a royal path to get unlimited grace and blessings of your Guru. So this happened in my final year of undergraduate program in Vrindavan. So for any Sai student, taking care of hostel and college is of utmost importance. For us, there is no difference between taking care of Swami and taking care of his institutions. And that has given us lot of service opportunities to do in the hostel and the college. So this was a time when we had a seva opportunity. They wanted us to clean the ground and remove some weeds so that the ground becomes suitable for the playing. So I also volunteered for that seva. I went. There were a lot of bushes and weeds. But interestingly, it was not just weeds, it was a special type of plant called the Parthenium plant. So this Parthenium plant may be a normal plant for others, but it had a long, long history with me. Because I was quite allergic to this plant from almost 15 years. And that would result, once I start smelling the plant, and that would result in continuous sneezes around 1,000 times in a day, and it would result in a lot of bleeding also from my nose. We had tried all type of medications and medicines, naturopathy, homeopathy, allopathy, but the only solution the doctor gave was stay away from the plant. So now here I am in a dilemma. So I have come for doing this seva opportunity. So should I go and do the seva or go back and prevent myself but not getting any allergic situation? But anyway, something was telling into my mind that you have taken the first step. You have come to the ground. Let's do it and go. Let's see what happens. Keep the faith on God and leave it to Swami. So I did the seva. We all completed the seva. We cleaned up the ground. Then we went back to hostel and my sneezes started. I was sneezing after breakfast. I was sneezing after lunch. I was sneezing at the dinner time. And I think it was a continuous relay and a marathon of sneezes that my friends also got worried. And they suggested that I think you need to go to the doctor and get it yourself checked up. So I thought that I'll give a night, and before sleeping, I just made a small prayer to Swami. Swami, I don't regret now that I did the seva, because I'm very happy that I could do the seva. But now it is your responsibility, because I have done your duty. It is your responsibility to take care of me. And I slept. That night, Swami came in my dream. He was sitting on the car, not in the car, on the car. He was sitting on the car, and I was very far. And my mother was beside Swami, and my mother is calling me, telling that Swami is calling you. So I am running, panting, because I am sneezing, my nose is red, and having my handkerchief in my hand, I am going there. And Swami doesn't speak to me anything. Swami looks at me and feels so bad with my red nose, and Swami just touches his hand on my nose. And next day morning, brothers and sisters, I was completely cured and all right. Five years, 5 years after this experience which happened to me, I can tell with all pride and joy that not even once I got an allergic situation going towards the Parthenium plant. The medicines which gave up on me, the doctors who gave up on me, just one act of Guru Seva. One act of Guru Seva, not to him directly, but just a small service activity in the hostel could actually cure my body forever. That is the power of Guru Seva. That is the unlimited, unconditional grace and love of Swami will come on you if you do the Guru Seva. But brothers and sisters, I would like to also tell that I am not here to tell that to risk your lives and health and do Guru Seva. Please don't mistake me on that. Do the Guru Seva, but keep complete faith on Him, then there is nothing called risk in life. Nothing can touch you if you have complete faith on Him. Adi Shankara had numerous disciples. So one disciple was Sanandana. Sanandana was an interesting disciple. So he was not at all interested in academics. The only thing he used to do was do Guru Seva, take care of the daily needs of Guru, take care of the ashram and all the daily requirements. All other disciples used to make fun of him that you are fit for nothing. But Adi Shankara knew that Sanandana had a great faith and love towards his Guru. So he wanted to show his disciples one day the power and the faith what Sanandana had for his Guru. So one day when Sanandana was drying the clothes in the other side of the bank, suddenly the water level started raising up. And then the other disciples got worried that Sanandana will get stuck and over there. So they come running to Adi Shankara and tell that, Master, Sanandana is stuck there. And Adi Shankara, who was so concerned about the well-being of his close disciple, rushes out of his ashram and calls out, Sanandana, come here. As he listens to the master words, he drops whatever is in his hand, jumps into the water. When he jumps into the water, Mother Ganga creates stone lotuses and places on his foot. And as Sanandana is taking steps, multiple stone lotuses get created and Sanandana sprints across the Mother Ganga and reaches the lotus feet of Adi Shankara. And Shankara asks, why did you jump into the water? He said that nothing matters to the divine call of you, Master. I have come to you. Tell me, what can I do? That was the faith of Sanandana. To add the point, when the other disciples actually told Sanandana that, Sanandana, do you know that you walked on water? Such a great miracle. Sanandana had an attitude telling that there is no other great miracle than the Guru calling me for doing his Guru Seva. What about walking in water? That was the feeling, that was the attitude what Sanandana had for Guru Seva. And for that, Adi Shankara told that world will know you as Padma Pada. Swami has mentioned about Padma Pada in multiple discourses and his interview sessions, that the Guru Seva you do, you will become close to Lord. What good fortune you had that Swami had remembered him and mentioned about him in multiple discourses. So coming to the end of my talk, so these are the three lessons which I learned. The first lesson about Guru Seva is perfection in performance. The second lesson is Guru Seva is not about your ability, but only your availability. The second is Guru Seva is a royal path to get His unlimited grace and blessing. All the three lessons which I got were at three different levels of awareness. As Swami says, the first one is at the conscious level, where at the level of mind and senses, where Swami taught me physically how to do Guru Seva. The question was, how to do Guru Seva? And Swami answered, do Guru Seva with perfection. The second was at the conscious level, where at the level of inner voice, the inner intellect, where Swami came inside as an inner voice and told how to keep Maunam, whom to be beware of, and how should I complete my Maunam. The question was, when to do Guru Seva? And the answer was, always be available to do Guru Seva. There's nothing like the right time and the wrong time. And the third was at the consciousness level, which comes in the atmic level, where he proved that the medicines cannot do anything to your weak cells. I am present in those cells. I will cure yourself. And that the question was, why to do Guru Seva? The answer was, Guru Seva will give you ultimate grace and blessings of the God. Now, what is the way forward for us? In Guru Gita, Shiva beautifully explains to Parvati that when the Guru is available physically in the ashram, the only way to do Guru Seva is take care of his physical needs. In the second case, that is when the Guru is temporarily absent from the ashram, he is away for some work, then the only way to do Guru Seva is his Pada Puja. But when the Guru leaves his mortal coil forever and is not present physically, the only way to do Guru Seva is follow his orders and follow his message. For us now, it is very clear that Swami has given a beautiful message to us. He said that to cross this ocean between life and death, the only way is not by reading scriptures, not by visiting pilgrimages, not by doing penance, but only by serving the good people we can attain liberation. So let us not see the Guru in the physical form. Let us start seeing that Guru present in each one of us. I would pray to Swami to bless us all with multiple opportunities to serve people and see that Guru in each one of us. I would like to conclude by offering my obeisance to my first Guru, my mother, who gave me this body, who gave me this life, and my divine Guru, my inner Guru, who spoke to you all till now. Jai Sai Ram.
Jana 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 Gurudwara mein sa ओंकार रूप ओजस्वी ओ साई महादेव ಅಂಬುದು ಮಂಗಳ ಆರತಿ ಅಂಬುದು ಮಂದರ ಗಿರಿದಾರಿ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೇ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ 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 ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಸದ್ಗುರುದೇವಾ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ 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 ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಸದ್ಗುರುದೇವಾ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ 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 ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸುಖಿನೋ ಸಮಸ್ತ ಲೋಕಾ ಸುಖಿನೋ
ಸತ್ಯ ಸಾಯಿ ಬಾಬಾಜಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ